SBS, a world of difference. You're with NITV Radio, on mobile, online and on radio.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land NITV Radio broadcasts from, the Cammeraygal people and their elders past and present. We also acknowledge all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander tribes and clans we broadcast to, from the mountains to the plains, from the desert to the sea, from fresh water to salt water. Yira Damarang and welcome to NITV Radio for this Wednesday, the 18th of June. I'm your host, Luana Grant, and coming up on today's show, we speak to the winner of the NAIDOC poster competition, Jeremy Worrell, about his artwork titled Ancestral Lines that pays homage to this year's NAIDOC theme, The Next Generation. Also coming up on the show today, we chat to Ben Gratz, one of the recipients of the 2025 First Nations Fellowship Award. And we also take a look at what's making headlines in Indigenous Affairs from NITV News. But coming up first is the latest news for this Wednesday, the 18th of June. You're listening to NITV Radio.
Australia Day 1972 saw the first Aboriginal embassy erected outside Parliament.
The native title legislation must be amended.
And they've walked this land so many times before anybody came.
I am sorry.
In this bulletin, plans for a multi-million dollar housing project in Darwin have been halted indefinitely. Australia targets Russia's shadow fleet in first ever sanctions on illicit oil trade. And in rugby league, Laurie Daly eyes redemption as New South Wales chase back-to-back origin titles. Plans for a multi-million dollar housing project in Darwin have been halted indefinitely after a Northern Territory tribunal has found that 10 cultural objects were unlawfully removed from the site. It's a victory for Larrakia traditional owners who have spent years fighting the Defence Housing Australia development at Lee Point. In May this year, Defence Housing Australia was fined for illegally clearing the land. Uncle Tibby Quoll, the man leading the legal challenge over cultural objects taken by the organisation, says he's thrilled by the win.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, you know, it's so overwhelming. Because I've been through land claims in Kenvey and native titles, but this is totally different, and we appreciate that.
The NT Civil Administrative Tribunal has ruled in his favour, finding the removal of the heritage objects was improper and also deemed Mr. Quoll the owner of the artefacts. The Northern Territory has scrapped an independent review into systematic racism within the NT Police, promised 2 years ago in response to the death in custody of Kumanjai Walker. Attorney General Marie-Claire Bothby told Estimates the $300,000 that had been promised by the previous government has been redirected to fill budget shortfalls in Legal Aid NT. She says the police racism review will now be rolled into a broader anti-racism strategy being developed by the NT Police. It coincides with calls for an independent investigation into a separate death in custody, that of Kumanjai White, who died after being arrested by plainclothes police last month. Community group Justice Not Jails has delivered more than 760 letters to the NT Chief Minister calling for an independent investigation into Mr. White's death. Natalie Hunter is the group's spokesperson.
We've had many black deaths in custody, and we do not trust the Northern Territory government no longer. With the treatment of Aboriginal people, the human rights have been destroyed of my 30-odd years in this space. So I demand that we have an independent, and we need to also stop damaging and discrediting the deceased. It has to stop.
Minister for Foreign Affairs Penny Wong has announced Australia has imposed sanctions on 60 vessels linked to Russia's shadow fleet, marking the first time it has targeted these ships. Used to evade sanctions and fuel Russia's war on Ukraine, the fleet employs deceptive tactics such as flag hopping, disabling tracking systems and lacking proper insurance, according to Ms. Wong. The move aligns with similar actions by Canada, the UK and the EU, aiming to cut off Russia's oil revenue and weaken its war economy. Australia has now issued over 1,400 sanctions since Russia's full-scale invasion and says it will continue coordinated efforts to defend Ukraine's sovereignty. The government has again called on Russia to end the war and withdraw, reaffirming its support for a just and lasting peace. The US military is sending additional fighter jets to the Middle East and extending existing deployments to bolster its presence amid the Israel-Iran conflict. One source said the deployment includes F-16s, F-22s and F-35s, while two others stressed the move is defensive in nature. This comes as daily newspaper Israel Hayom says several Iranian missiles have struck different parts of Israel with injuries reported. Al Jazeera is reporting 30 missiles struck various areas in Israel in 20 minutes in two barrages. It is the eighth wave of missiles from Iran in the last 24 hours. Iran has also suffered several Israeli missile strikes, including in Tehran and Karaj. Iran's Armed Forces Joint Chief of Staff, Abdul Rahim Mousavi, issuing this warning to Israel.
The operations carried out so far were merely a warning and deterrence. A punitive operation will be implemented soon. Therefore, residents of Tel Aviv and Jaffa are strongly warned to leave those areas for their own safety. Don't fall victim to Netanyahu's animal desires.
Gaza's health ministry says at least 51 Palestinians were killed and dozens more injured by Israeli tank shellfire while waiting for aid in Khan Yunis. The World Health Organization also reported 20 further deaths linked to the incident, which occurred as desperate Palestinians gathered along the main eastern road in search of food supplies. Witnesses say Israeli tanks fired at least two shells into the crowd. Medics reported around 200 people were wounded, with at least 20 in a critical condition. Chair of the UN Commission of Inquiry on the occupied Palestinian territory, including East Jerusalem and Israel, Navi Pillay, says Israel's aim is to devastate life in Gaza.
The goal of the Israeli government is abundantly clear: the destruction of life in Gaza. For a year and a half now, our commission has been investigating the violence in Gaza. We have seen constant escalation and more deaths and injuries.
Israeli military officials say they are looking into the incident. A 63-year-old Queensland man is due in Cairns Magistrates Court today, accused of producing child abuse material in the Philippines. Australian Border Force allegedly found exploitation material on his phone, laptop and hard drives when he arrived at Cairns Airport on Christmas Day. His home was searched 2 days later. In May, the AFP charged him with offences related to possessing, producing, distributing and obtaining child abuse material overseas, which carry a maximum penalty of 15 years. AFP Detective Superintendent Adrian Telfer called it a borderless crime and vowed to pursue offenders wherever they operate. Firefighters have delivered a resounding vote of no confidence in Fire Rescue Victoria's leadership, with 90% of union members expressing distrust amid ongoing safety, pay and vehicle concerns. The United Firefighters Union says systematic failures and a lack of support have eroded trust in Commissioner Gavin Freeman, Acting Deputy Secretary Tony Matthews and Acting Executive Director Tom McPherson. It marks the third Victorian emergency service to reject its leadership in the past year. The dispute follows similar unrest within Victoria Police, which led to the resignation of Chief Minister Shane Patton. A research centre in New York is celebrating 100 years of documenting the history and culture of people of African descent in the US. Founded during the height of the Harlem Renaissance, the Schomburg Centre will spend the next year exhibiting signature objects curated from its massive catalogue of black literature, art, recordings and films. It got started with the personal collection of historian and writer Art Euro Alfonso Schomburg, with Puerto Rican, German and Afro-Caribbean heritage. Curator Tammy Lawson says the collection of 15,000 items plays an important role in contemporary society.
His whole collection is giving back what slavery took away. So this collection validates and edifies and inspires. It is a counter historical documentation of Black people worldwide.
The World Bank is urging Pacific Island nations to close the gender gap to boost economic growth in the region. A new report from the Global Finance Institution says less than half of working-age women are employed across the Pacific Islands due to outdated laws. Their economic update for the Pacific also forecasts regional growth slowing to 2.6% in 2025, down from 5.5% in 2023. With 57%, around 500,000 women, not in work across the region, the report says boosting female participation to the same level as men could lift the region's gross domestic product by 22% by increasing household incomes and supporting private sector growth. And to sport, 11 years after his greatest origin triumph, Laurie Daly has a chance to help New South Wales put Queensland's dynasty behind them. With a 60,000-strong crowd expected at Optus Stadium, the Blues can seal a back-to-back series wins tonight. A victory in Perth would set the stage for a potential New South Wales era of dominance, with the team stronger on paper and Queensland in transition. Daly's return as coach also offers him a shot at moving on from a tough period, having led New South Wales during a stretch where they lost 11 of 12 series between 2006 and 2017. And now for a look at today's weather. Perth 20, Adelaide partly cloudy 16, Melbourne cloudy 14, Hobart partly cloudy 12, Canberra partly cloudy 11, Wollongong sunny 17, Sydney also sunny 16, Newcastle sunny 17, Brisbane partly cloudy 21, Cairns a possible shower 26, and Darwin sunny 31. And that is NITV Radio News.
sbs.com.au/NITV Radio. NITV Radio, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 1 p.m. or anytime online.
Welcome back. You're listening to NITV Radio. Still to come on the show, we speak to the winner of the NAIDOC poster competition, Jeremy Worrell, about his artwork titled Ancestral Lines that pays homage to this year's NAIDOC theme, The Next Generation. Also coming up on the show today, we chat with Ben Gratz, one of the recipients of the 2025 First Nations Fellowship Award at the recent First Nations Arts and Culture Awards. But first, let's take a look at some stories from our NITV news team. Plans for a multi-million dollar housing project in Darwin have been halted indefinitely after a Northern Territory tribunal found that 10 cultural objects were unlawfully removed from the site. It's victory for Larrakia traditional owners who have spent years fighting the Defence Housing Australia development at Lee Point.
A cause for celebration. Uncle Tibby Quole, the man leading the legal challenge over cultural objects taken from his country, waking up to a win.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, you know, it's so overwhelming.
For years, traditional owners have fought to protect this site they say holds deep cultural significance. In 2023, a community blockade drew national attention. In May this year, Defence Housing Australia was fined for illegally clearing the land. In the case of Mr. Quole, he claimed the Heritage Council failed to properly consult before allowing the disruption and removal of 10 cultural objects.
There was no connection or conferences or meetings with the government.
Now, the NT Civil and Administrative Tribunal has ruled in his favour, finding the removal of the heritage objects was based on improper considerations and failed to address the requirements of the Act. It also deemed Mr. Quoll an owner of those artefacts.
And it sets a remarkable precedent that means that developers, governments, anyone wanting to do business here on Larrakia land is going to need to recognise the ownership of these incredibly important places.
The matter will now be referred back to the Heritage Council with responding submissions expected in August.
There's been land cleared illegally. There have been precious cultural heritage objects removed unlawfully. It's time to put an end to it.
Now seeking legal advice over next steps, Uncle Tibby hopes the objects will eventually be returned.
We'll probably have a ceremony for it and to keep it in a safe place.
Emma Kellaway, NITV News.
The New South Wales Aboriginal Legal Service says changes to the state's bail system could lead to 40 people a day being turned away from their services. From July 7th, people in regional New South Wales applying for bail will appear before a centralised virtual bail division. Defendants will appear virtually from police stations and lawyers will need to dial in remotely. With the new changes, solicitors defending clients virtually will not be allowed to appear in a physical courtroom on the same day. The ALS says if the state government doesn't provide it with additional resources, an estimated 300 people a week may not have access to culturally safe legal services. The Northern Territory Government has dumped a review into systematic racism in the NT police force. 4 years ago, both sides of territory politics signed the Aboriginal Justice Agreement. The then Labor government committed to identifying and eliminating racism in all territory government departments, including the police. It followed evidence from the high-profile inquest into the death of Kumanjai Walker that revealed racist behaviour on the part of the Police Tactical Response Group. The Attorney General has told budget estimates that none of the reviews have been completed, and the funding for the police review has been redirected to legal aid.
The $300,000 was redirected from the review that was the Anti-Discrimination Commission that was going to do that to Legal Aid NT to ensure that they could continue their delivery of service, because we have this huge court backlog. We need defendants and offenders to be represented by legal services, and it was a really tough decision.
Meanwhile, the Federal Shadow Minister for Indigenous Australians has demanded to know where millions of dollars in federal funding for Northern Territory Police is being spent. Senator Karen Little says greater scrutiny is needed after the Minister for Indigenous Australians, Malandiri McCarthy, backed an independent investigation into the death of Kumanjai White. The 24-year-old passed away after an altercation with police in an Alice Springs supermarket last month. Senator Little says millions of dollars in federal funds have gone to NT Police in the past 12 months.
The $30 million that went into the Northern Territory for policing in the last 12 months, what have they done already to understand how that money's been spent and how much of that money has gone into looking at police procedures and to making sure that people, when they come into contact, unfortunately, with the police, and that's not everyone, actually don't end up with a death?
First Nations health professionals from across the globe are gathering in Tandanya, Adelaide for the International Indigenous Health and Wellbeing Conference. This year's event is also a heartfelt tribute to the legacy of Dr. Loija O'Donoghue, a longtime advocate for Aboriginal rights and health, as Marcellus Enelunga reports.
I'm here at the 4th International Indigenous Health and Wellbeing Conference, where leaders, researchers and health professionals from around the world gathering to improve Indigenous health. The conference theme, Strong, Fearless, Together, honours the legacy of Dr. Loija O'Donoghue, inspiring attendees to stand strong and unite in improving Indigenous health outcomes. The event opened with the Kaurna language welcome by Jakari Telfer, connecting participants to Tandanya, Adelaide, and honouring the spirit of place and ancestors. We also heard from Donella Mills, chair of NACHO, reiterating the sector's commitment to working together to achieve the goals of the national agreement and improve health outcomes for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples.
Our model is something that could be for every Australian, where you can go into one place where you feel so supported, where you feel a deep connection to your own identity, where you see your own mob. They're looking after you, and then to be able to get the end result, which is good healthcare, that's what we want.
The week-long program will feature international speakers, sessions led by knowledge holders, health workers and policymakers from Australia and beyond. Marcella Sinalunga, NITV News.
With Tasmanians set to return to the polls in just over a month, First Nations campaigners are stepping up the fight to halt the logging of old-growth forests. Yorta Yorta and Dja Dja Wurrung woman Ruth Langford has told The Point's John Paul Jenke that advocating for a sustainable future is a cultural obligation.
The vast majority of people who live here in Lutwita, Tasmanians, they have consistently asked why, when it doesn't make economic sense, because the government is subsidising all the roads, all the departments.
And you can now see the full program on the fight to save those forests on The Point, which is now streaming on SBS On Demand. And hundreds of people have gathered in Melbourne's West to join an Indigenous truth-telling commissioner on the final leg of his nearly 500-kilometre trek across Victoria. Yurok Justice Commissioner Travis Lovett has spent the last few weeks walking from Portland, where the state's colonisation began, to Melbourne. His trek aims to bring people along the journey of truth-telling and will end at Victoria's Parliament House today. Yesterday, he and his supporters walked the penultimate leg from Footscray Park to Camp Sovereignty, a significant site of political activism.
Visit sbs.com.au/NITV Radio. Your community, your conversation. NITV Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to NITV Radio. Next up, we yarn to artist Jeremy Worrell, winner of the 2025 National NAIDOC Week poster competition. Jeremy's artwork is titled Ancestral Lines, that pays homage to this year's NAIDOC theme, The Next Generation.
I'm Jeremy Worrell. I'm a Ngarrabul Gomeroi man from Emmaville, New South Wales. My mob is the Wright family, Scots, Marlowe's and Frasers. And yeah, I've been an artist for about 15 years professionally, and I did it as a kid as well. So I guess like 20 years maybe.
Congratulations on your recent win. How has it felt to have your poster chosen in this competition?
It felt nothing short of like amazing, to be honest. Like, I mean, I've been in the competition for about 5 years, maybe 6 years in a row now. So, you know, not that I was really entering to win it all, but when I did find out that I got the honour of being chosen this year, it just really felt special and felt right. Yeah, I was just excited to and my family and my partner. And it was just, yeah, it was really just probably one of the best feelings I've felt in my career. So it was really cool.
Do you remember what your first kind of thoughts were when you got the call or the announcement?
Yeah, I think the first thought was like, I thought they were calling me to tell me that I hadn't got it this year. So I was just like, you know, ready for that. So when they did tell me, it just like completely threw me. And I just was in the office. I work at NITV and I was in the office in a booth and I was really just trying to keep it together because they're like, yeah, don't tell anyone if you can. And yeah, just try and keep it under wraps. So I was just like trying not to jump up and down and trying not to tear up, to be honest. Like it's just something I've been trying to do for so long now. And it just felt unreal to be given the honour this year to be chosen. Yeah.
What a way to find out. Could you tell us a bit more about your artwork and what kind of inspired you to make it?
The artwork this year is primarily a homage to my ancestors, and it's really about showing them in a way that is respectful and in a way that I kind of see them when I think back to them, and the strength that they give me to do what I do. So, yeah, I really want to paint my family, and I did that to a certain degree with, like, most of my family being included in a way. Like, the first figure is a portrait of my Uncle Theo, right, and also my great-great-great-great-grandfather, Enoch Wright, and then my grandmother Noni, my great-grandmother Noni, and my nan Audrey, and my mom, and my sisters and my brothers. So, yeah, it was really just kind of like getting their likeness in and paying respects to all the strength that, and love that they've given me. And the whole artwork is really meant to be about the concept of looking back so that you can move forwards and acknowledging where you've come from and all the lessons that you've learned from your family directly and also indirectly through your blood and through your culture as well. And so it's kind of trying to show, like, the way that these lessons pass down through time and transcend time to affect the generations after them.
How do you feel about this year's theme, and what does it mean to you?
I really like this year's theme. I like the themes every year, and this year's really special too, because I think it is like a way of encouraging the next generation to really just feel solid in who they are and who their mob is and their ancestors as well, and to really look back and feel a sense of pride come from and the person they are today. And yeah, I think it's about reflection and perseverance and strength and just really trying to, you know, really trying to get like that power from your mob and like that strength from your mob and really push forward with it. And I think that, as I said before, like, the best way to do that is to look back at where you come from and to really respect your family and recognize that the reasons why you're here today and the reasons why you can be strong and have a legacy is because of them.
You mentioned at the start that you've been making art since your childhood. What is your artistic process like, and has it kind of changed as you've grown up?
Yeah, definitely. I you know, started like most people, just like paint and paint mediums and just anything I could really get my hands on. And then over time, especially in high school, I started to use computers a lot more. And, you know, with that, I've just been basically my skills working on computer, using different mediums, like paintings that I do physically. I take photos of those and create brushes for the computer programs. And I take photos of like nature and parts of my country, which I'll use for inspiration or other brush mediums and stuff like that. And so, yeah, over time, I just kind of have collected all these little brushes and ways of doing things. And I try to stick to what I've been taught by my community and also to push the envelope a little bit with that, with using different techniques to create different scenes that are kind of like evolutions of the works that I've done before.
Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio. Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to NITV Radio. Recently, the 2025 First Nations Fellowship Award was announced at the First Nations Arts and Culture Awards. One of the recipients is well-known performer Ben Gratz, and the award was given by Creative Australia, supporting outstanding established artists or arts workers, creative activity and professional development. Ben joins us now to chat about the award and what it means to him.
Recently received the First Nations Fellowship.
Yep.
Can you tell us a little bit about what that involves?
Yeah, so the Creative Australia Fellowship gets awarded, I don't know if it's annually or if it's every 2 years, but it's really to support artists that are working in the sector to be able to further their work or develop their work or do research or work towards an event. And so my fellowship is to eventually create a global First Nations queer arts and cultural gathering. And it's really on the back of Sydney World Pride, where we were able to create a really important and really an event that really changed the kind of the engagement of queer First Nations people at major events like a Sydney World Pride or a Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras. And so this is just building on what we really created at Sydney World Pride. And, you know, it's about gathering mob, bringing people from overseas to be able to, you know, collaborate, to communicate, to share, to laugh. But most importantly, it's about having conversations through our arts and culture and being able to come together and heal. And yeah, so my fellowship is for 2025 and 2026 to do a bit of research into, yeah, making that happen.
What has it meant for you to get this kind of support for a project like that?
Oh, look, it's, you know, it's so important because sometimes it would not have been possible without it because, you know, as artists, we're constantly looking for the next work and we're trying to do everything on such a shoestring budget that it's really hard to be able to do projects that don't have the support just yet or to be able to examine into what, you know, sponsorships might be available, what grants are available. You have to really do it on the fly, whereas this gives you a bit of space. It gives you a bit of breath to be able to take a step back and to really do it in a really thoughtful way, but also to be able to set up really solid foundations and to have, you know, important conversations with the right people. So it's about, yeah, developing it in a way that's culturally appropriate, culturally safe, but allows you a bit of breathing space so you're not always feeling like, you know, you're not able to do it because your priorities are on other work, trying to make a living, really. So this gives you a bit of space to be able to do that. To be able to support artists within the sector, whether it's through grants or fellowships, is really valuable. And it enables artists to be able to continue to practice, you know, their work and to build on what they what they're passionate about in a way that doesn't make them feel like that they're, you know, not been able to do it because they've got no funds or they're not able to support themselves financially. And so to have that support is really important. But also, you know, it's also about networking. It's also about ensuring that you're connected with the community and the sector as well.
Visit sbs.com.au/NITV Radio. Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
And that's all we have time for on today's program. You can listen back to the show anytime online or catch any of our stories on our website at sbs.com.au. NITV Radio will be back on Friday with more stories from right across the country. I'm your host, Luana Grant Mundungor. Thanks so much for joining me and have a great day.